This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Keith Cam, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Enterprise Biz Bytes on Monday, the 16th of April, 2018. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Christine Wong.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with the show, 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number, or we're on Twitter at BFM Radio. Christine is driving the Twittermobile today. Stories that we have lined up today. We've got a weekly planning method for people who hate planning. This better be good, Frida. Mm-hmm. And then we have how Facebook are fueling another privacy debate by tracking non-Facebook users. Story number three, an underappreciated job skill that's all in your head. And then we're going to wrap up with how some hackers stole a casino database using just a thermometer in a lobby fish tank.
Oh, wow. I can't wait for that story.
It's a good one, man. Okay, let's start off with this weekly planning method.
Right. Okay, do you guys plan? Do you like planning?
Yes and no. Long-term planning, yes.
Okay.
Short-term planning, not so good at.
Right, and you?
I love planning.
Oh, you love planning. Okay, so the thing is, though, I think a lot of times people do plan, and they're good at planning for work, but then sometimes the life goals get, you know, pushed aside because we're just so busy with our work goals, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, I love this article, and it is the Hebdomadal model. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Hebdomadal
model, spelled Hebdomadal, and the article says, feel free to Google that.
Mm.
And so people to have a simplest form of long-term planning. So if you spend enough time masterminding your weekly action plan, usually 10 to 30 minutes, so you can condense big goals into doable directives that can be accomplished on a day-to-day basis while still having a clear sense of the ground, you'll be covered by this time next week. So, this process will give you benefits of longer-term planning without the tedium of scheduling more brainstorming sessions and drafting out more plans. So with this weekly approach, it also avoids the frustration planning a whole month only to have family and work life spin you in a new direction unexpectedly. And that happens, right, all the time.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I'm pretty good at work goals, things I need to do, but then, you know, the time would have just gone by, a year would have just gone by, I said, forgot about that one.
I'm no step further or closer to what I wanted.
To do with other things in life, right? Because work is great, but there are other things in life. So step one is to start tracking your long-term goals. So most of us know in general terms what we should be focusing on a week-to-week, but we're often hard-pressed to say exactly what those things are when we're put on the spot or when unpredictable work crises arise. To make these items clear and ever-present, you need to zoom out a bit and keep a running list of your long-term goals, the stuff that doesn't automatically get chipped away at the course of a normal work week. So you have to create, so this is, I guess, on a laptop or whatever, to create a parent note tab in whatever note taking app you use, label it long term goals, right? And this for anything you think of that can't realistically be accomplished today or in the rest of the week. So then the next step is to create sub tabs for areas that are relevant to you. So few common categories: we have career goals, health fitness goals, fun self love goals. Do you have those fun self love goals, Christine?
I would say I do, yeah.
All right, okay. Financial goals, learning goals, and giving goals. The drop 10 pounds goals. Visit Spain, which you've just done.
Yeah, I have.
You know, make a budget. So anyway, this way, whenever you have a spark of inspiration throughout your week, you can immediately catalogue it in the appropriate tab. You'll be surprised how many incredible goals you actually write down that would otherwise slip through the cracks and get lost forever.
Right, right.
Again, I fall to this, right? The end result of this note-taking system is it gives you ample fodder for meaningful items to include in your weekly planning session, will you make sure to clear time for things that actually matter to you in the grand scheme. So I mean, like, just taking up a new kind of exercise for me, right? It's like, wow, I really want to take up belly dancing, right? And then thinking about it, right? I want to get fit, but I don't want to do the usual thing. I want to do something new. What do I do then, right? Step two, commit to a mastermind session each Sunday. So get some paper. Paper works well here, she says. Sit down once a week, ideally of the weekend, when work is less likely to interrupt, to do some mastermind planning. So for 10 minutes to half an hour, comb through your note tabs and brainstorm action steps you can realistically accomplish over the course of a day or two during the upcoming week. So it's simple. To give this process a bit more structure, follow the subheadings in your notes app, adding a 6 for daily stuff you won't be able to avoid, like work.
Daily non-negotiables, as they
daily
call it.
Daily non-negotiables, okay. Right? So you got to do that. And then after that, with each new mastermind session, you want to review your action list from the week before, seeing what you've crushed, what held you back, and how you improve your results the next week. So now it's getting more clarity, and then you'll be able to, you know, I guess, see more results in a month's time. So step three, refer to your weekly list in writing tomorrow's to-dos. Every morning, every evening before bed, spend a couple of minutes reviewing your weekly action plan list, a weekly action list from the previous weekend, and transfer the most relevant goals over onto your daily to-do list, which should be a lot more easier, right? And it's so simple steps. Like I said, you know, this is some simple things you can do. So make sure your daily plan includes up to your top five most urgent items accomplished that day. Any less pressing or less realistic tasks can go at the bottom of your list just in case you manage to get to do them. It helps include some additional tasks geared to around cutting distractions, like limiting social media, email, and texting a particular day, or even for just a few hours one morning. I think that's an important thing. I think that takes up a lot of time wasted when we're not, you know, we're not aware of the distractions that we have as well.
Yeah. I'm very aware recently. I mean, particularly towards the evening, just before I'm going to bed, I've had a terrible habit, as I'm sure most of us have, of just quickly just last minute checking your social media feeds. And then it's never just a last minute check. It's like, well, I'll contribute to that. I'll add a photo there. I'll message there.
1 hour later.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I've really become very strict about that. After a certain time, I'm cutting myself off. I may read through stuff, but I will not respond. You know, right. I've been quite severe about that.
So do you do this as well, Christine?
I mean, I don't do the planning for outside of work stuff so much, but now hearing that, I think I'll try to incorporate some of those things into my routine. But, you know, the whole idea kind of revolves around putting your life into perspective on paper and then just seeing, you know, what is important to you that you do want to accomplish. I like the thing about looking at your previous goals and what you like didn't get accomplished and stuff, and that will help to kind of, I think, put things in perspective for people.
Yeah, I know. So this is brilliant because, like I said, a lot of times we're very good at getting our work goals and getting things sorted, but then all the other things just fall on the wayside.
Folks at home, do you have a fancy way of planning your week, your monthly goals, your weekly goals, your lifetime goals?
Yeah, beyond work.
Let us know at 018-789-8899. Do you use an app for that? Do you write it down on paper? How do you do it? Let us know. We're keen to know. Moving on to story number two, how Facebook are fueling a privacy debate again by tracking non-users. Is this new news? Is this something we didn't know about?
Well, Facebook. Non-users. Facebook has really, you know, we've been talking about Facebook nonstop, about its data privacy and how it's kind of not been great at doing the whole keeping people's data private thing. But now it's widening to include the information that Facebook collects about non-users. Now, in case you didn't know, Mark Zuckerberg has been talking to Congress about all of this, all of these shenanigans, and he has now said that the world's largest social network tracks people whether they have accounts or not.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is on the heels of the whole scandal with the political consultancy Cambridge Analytica and the what came out about them using data for kind of not stuff that they didn't tell people they were going to use their data for. So for security reasons, as Zuckerberg said, Facebook also collects data of people who have not signed up for Facebook. There's actually no, we don't know what data that Facebook has on these non-users either. And it's also not clear what Facebook is doing with that information, which is not great.
How did they get a hold of that?
Okay, so how they get a hold of these data on non-users is, first of all, from people on who are on Facebook, but like, let's say a Facebook user uploads email addresses of their friends, people who are invited their other friends to Facebook who aren't on Facebook, but even that data gets stored in Facebook.
So they have their email addresses and their names.
Yep. Other information comes from cookies. If you don't know what cookies are, they're small files that are stored via your internet browser and used by Facebook and a lot of other websites to track people on the internet, sometimes to target them with ads.
Mainly to target them with ads.
And Facebook has said in a statement to Reuters, which this story is from, that this kind of data collection is fundamental to how the internet works. And Facebook kind of, when they were asked, you know, if people could opt out of having their data taken by Facebook, they were just kind of saying, oh, there are some basic things you can do to limit the use of this information for advertising, like using browser or device settings to delete cookies, da da da. But they were basically kind of shirking responsibility for it and saying, everyone does it.
I'm going to say, yeah, playing devil's advocate, there's a whole bunch of websites that do install cookies on your machine. Flight booking services, for example, is a big one. Travel websites, right. They all do it.
You know, I just check up on anything. You know, so I think the fact that they're not very upfront about what they're using it for is probably an issue. Mm. But, you know, someone just put a comment from a friend, like, should I get off Facebook? And I said, look, unless you're completely off the grid, you will be discovered, whether it's on Twitter, when you're doing a Google search. Yeah.
Yeah. And fact of the matter is, Facebook actually installs cookies on non-users' browsers, even if they visit a website that isn't Facebook, but has a Facebook like or share button, whether or not you push the button, that button being there already gets your data for Facebook. So they've claimed that they use this browsing data to create analytics reports about traffic to a site, and they've claimed that they don't use the data to target ads, except those inviting people to join Facebook. But there's clearly a business incentive to use non-user data to target ads. Mm. And there's the idea that Facebook could build databases on non-users by combining web browsing history with uploaded contacts. Facebook has said that it doesn't do that, but it's still really suspicious that non-users don't know, first of all, that Facebook had this data in the first place, and number two is that they don't know what data Facebook exactly has. And if you're not a Facebook user, you ought to have a right to know what data Facebook has about you.
Absolutely. I mean, I have friends who are not Facebook users, and years ago they decided to get off the Facebook platform.
Yeah.
And when I downloaded that file that shares everything that Facebook has on you, the details, when I downloaded that, these people's details were still in that file, you know, and they'd taken themselves off Facebook maybe 7-8 years ago, but their details were still there, their email addresses, their telephone numbers, everything. You know, that's... You know, once you've deleted yourself off Facebook, you should be deleted off Facebook.
You're supposed to have everything wiped, but clearly that's not the case.
This is genuinely worrying, isn't
it? Oh, Zuckerberg.
But, I mean, it's like we've discussed, you know, the travel websites and a whole bunch of other websites who are storing your cookies as you're moving left, right, and even if you're going into the incognito mode as you're...
Yeah.
I mean, that's a little trick that a lot of people have learned, isn't it? When you're booking a flight, use incognito mode and go back, and the flight prices are generally going to be a little bit cheaper. Mm. That's how it kind of works. But if they're storing that data everywhere regardless, it's not making a difference, is it?
I mean, they do have a point in that a lot of websites, you know, that aren't Facebook do use that, but the why Facebook is being singled out is because of its size and influence, and also because Zuckerberg is not being forthcoming about the extent and reasons for tracking these data.
He's just got no emotions, that man. He is Borg.
He's just this like tiny android on a booster seat.
Yeah, he is indeed, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, we started off the show with a story about our...
On a high note,
about a weekly planning method for people who hate planning. If you have a particular way of planning your week, your month, your day, your year, long-term goals, let us know how you do it outside of work. 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. We have to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from The Walkman with Little House of Savages. And when we come back, an underappreciated job skill that's all in your head. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Frida Liu.
Started off today's show with a story about a weekly planning method for people who hate planning. It is called, let me see if I can pronounce this correctly, hebdomadal model, based on the Greek word hepta, which means seven. It then moved into late Latin, which hebdomadalis.
He knows because he took Latin lessons.
I took
lessons.
Latin at school, yes. Yeah. Right, story number three, an underappreciated job skill that's in your head and it's not attention to detail.
Yeah, so this underappreciated job skill, is the ability to be flexible in how you achieve your goals. Mm. Now, this is a specific technique that was kind of created by University of Michigan researchers led by Ethan Gross, PhD, in the article.
Everyone's got a PhD, haven't they?
You have to.
He's smart.
That's
people.
The bare minimum of the degree level, I suppose. So this is the fly on the wall technique that will help you with being flexible in how you achieve your goals. Because sometimes, you know, in work, you can come across a situation that's really frustrating and you don't know how to solve it. And, you know, you have a specific goal, but this situation is preventing you from getting there. So this is how you're going to get past that obstacle is by watching some emotionally difficult event in your mind's eye as though from a distance. So if you encounter a frustrating situation at work, the idea is that you can, in your mind, walk 10 feet away from the situation, turn around and then look back at yourself as though you are looking at a stranger, and then watch what the stranger in your head does in reaction to the situation.
Okay, I can't remember the term right now, but I studied this in NLP. And
I was just going to say this is an NLP.
Very much so.
It's watching a movie.
Yeah.
So you are now watching the movie.
Correct.
And you're not in the picture, but you're seeing yourself.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like, you know.
And how you can adjust the colors of that movie to get the mood that you require. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The idea behind this technique is that the psychological distance can help you view a frustrating experience as dispassionately as possible. So you're removing the emotion from it, then you can see the solution to the problem. Mm. When you try to make sense of why this has all happened, you can see it in a whole new light. So it can shift your reaction, for example, from feeling very hurt and not thinking clearly about all your options to recognizing a better way forward without the hurt feelings. Now, according to the researchers, this effect of the perspective shift have been shown to last over time and to extend beyond emotions to things like lowered blood pressure, better reactions to stressors, and shifts in the way the brain processes difficult situations.
Yeah. Right. So I'll put myself in the hot seat for a moment.
Go for it.
And I have an issue with, let's say I have an issue with my mother, because I do. I've been talking to her on a regular basis, and it's one of those things which becomes very frustrating because, you know, she needs to be doing certain things, and she needs to be doing these things for her own benefit.
Right.
Right. And yet, the more I talk to her about her doing these things, the less that she wants to do it. And I find myself getting stressed and a little bit angry sometimes, not at her directly, but I can feel. You know what it's like when you feel your blood start to boil? And you. So you're telling me that if I kind of floated outside of my body and looked back at myself dispassionately, I would be able to tell myself, be less angry and things would get better?
That's the idea. So, for example, when you're having your next conversation with your mom, I can't believe I'm saying this on air, but when you're
it's
you're
a hypothetical,
doing,
Christine. Well,
hypothetically, in your next conversation with your mom, you could take a moment to think about it from like a further point of view and see maybe it could be the way that you're talking to her, or maybe it could be the tasks that she's doing, or maybe it could be her mood when you're telling her to do something. Because I know that sometimes when I'm in a bad mood and someone tells me to do something that I was already going to do, I immediately do not want to do the thing anymore.
Hypothetically speaking.
So that could be a way. It's just a way of kind of looking at the situation objectively and trying to take out your emotions from it. Because sometimes, you know, emotions can cloud your decision making and how you look at things, I think.
Frida, come on.
I guess, you know, that's why we say when we're angry and everything, we walk away from the situation to calm down, to cool down, that sort of thing, you know, because you know that the first words that will come in your mouth in that moment of anger won't be good. And I think just stepping away, counting to 110 and sort of looking at that situation differently and using this method might actually help. I use it all the time.
Right, walking away.
Yeah. Walking away.
I think it's also about, it's also supposed to not help you take the issue personally as well, which I think is really important for if it's a work-related issue.
Right, yeah.
Because sometimes it can be really easy to take some work dispute very, very personally when it's not. It's just about the job that has to be done. So taking that step back might really help with just putting that into its own shift.
I suspect it comes in very useful for people that are managing details over different time zones and that kind of thing. When you're dealing with in the story, if you read some of the backstory, there's a woman who has she's dealing with stuff in America and she's dealing with stuff in Japan, I believe, and she's
China, and so
she's in the middle of these two different time zones and being able to manage her time and lower her stress level.
No, I've been in that situation before where I had to work with, you know, Europe, India, America, and they're always just when you think you can leave, someone wakes up, right. And it's very I can say it's really, really difficult because you're so daunted with tasks that you just have to be able to take away 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I wouldn't know this method then. And I developed vertigo. From that situation, it was just so highly stressed. But I think like looking back now, it probably just the stepping away can be anything from 5 to 10 minutes, you know, and just sort of like, okay.
Enough's enough. Right, we have to take a short break. We've got some music coming up, a bit of classic rock from Bon Jovi with Bad Medicine. When we get back, the final story of the day before we give you some events to check out, how hackers stole a casino's high-rolling database through a thermometer. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. Oh, before I go, we did have a story. Remember, we started off with the weekly planning method for people who hate planning. If you have any smart ideas about how you want to plan, let us know. 018-789-8888.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
And Christine Wong.
Still with you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you still want to get in touch and let us know if you have a fancy way of planning your week, your month, your day, your life, get in touch 018-789-8899 or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. Final story before we move on to some events. So this is based out of, it's a story coming out of London, and it's not necessarily a story just about that, but it's a kind of story about the dangers of the Internet of Things. So we know that hackers are increasingly targeting the Internet of Things devices to access corporate systems, everything from CCTV cameras to air conditioning units. So if you're not sure what the Internet of Things refers to, it's devices that are hooked up to the Internet to allow live streams of data to be monitored. It covers everything from household appliances to widgets in power plants and everything in between. Nicole Egan, she's the CEO of a cybersecurity company called Darktrace, and they were talking to the Wall Street Journal in London last week, and she says there's a lot of Internet of Things devices, everything from thermostats, refrigeration systems, air conditioning systems, to people who bring in their Alexa devices into their offices. Why ever you do that, I have no idea. But there's just a lot of IoT. It expands the attack surface, and most of this isn't covered by traditional defenses. So she goes on to give one memorable anecdote about a case that they worked on where an unnamed casino was hacked via a thermometer in a lobby aquarium. Right? So here's a quote. The attackers used that to get a foothold into the network. They then found the high roller database and pulled them back across the network, out of the thermostat, and up into the cloud. Now, Robert Hannigan, who ran the British government's digital spying agency from GCHQ, appeared alongside her on the panel and agreed that hackers targeting Internet of Things devices is a growing problem for companies. Quote, with the Internet of Things producing thousands of new devices shoved onto the Internet over the next few years, there's going to be an increasing problem. He goes on to talk about how a bank recently was hacked through its CCTV cameras because those devices are purely based at cost and are not secured on the network. So you buy them super cheap, you have a little monitor hooked up, and people forget that they broadcast over the Internet. And if they're broadcasting over, there's a way of getting in. So all the data was siphoned off that way. But it kind of makes you think, you know, the stuff that you have at home, you need to be securing, especially if you're doing, like, you know, credit card transfers or bank details or anything like that.
I mean, first of all, there are certain devices that don't need the Internet. I've seen pictures of fridges that can tweet. Why?
Yeah.
There's no point. You know, so first of all, I think, you know, if you're going to buy a device that isn't supposed to be for, like, just, like, that's not a computer or a mobile device that specifically can be used with the Internet and such, maybe think about not getting a fridge that tweets. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
First of all. But don't you want to know, like, but, anonymously, that you're running out of milk?
No. Okay. But also, second of all, if you are going to get a device, you know, that is connected to the whole Internet of Things and such, you know, be aware of that. The fact of the matter is anything that can connect to the Internet can get hacked through the Internet.
Correct.
That's how it works.
No, I'm just thinking of the fish tank. I just can't get over
it. It's brilliant.
I know.
It's like... and
there
Christine,
is a movie out there about
there
this.
Is somewhere a very similar kind of...
concept.
Concept, yes. A movie that's currently screening right now, in fact.
No spoilers.
But no spoilers, in fact, because I know Harvey wants to go see it. It's got The Rock in it. Leave it at that. Anyway, so we have to take a very short break. But again, quickly, we've got some minutes left if you want to get in touch regarding the planning. How do you do it? What was the method called again, Frida?
It's called the... Oh, don't do this to me! Hendo and Medal.
There you go. Get in touch, 018-789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. When we come back, some events that you might want to check out over the forthcoming week. A couple of songs back to back. We have The Bamboos and Aerosmith here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It's almost time for us to go, but we have some events that we think you might want to check out later on in the week. What have we got first?
All right. We've got the CITEC e-commerce class, and this is around customer relationship management. It's happening tomorrow from 1:30 to 4, and it's free. It's going to be at the Selangor Digital Creative Centre. So this is designed especially for e-commerce beginners and practitioners. Each class will be led by a coach who will teach and mentor each session together guest speakers from various parts of the e-commerce chain who will share their insights and experience with you. So what about this class? You'll collect about the class, collecting consumer data is a necessity for all businesses. Just check with Facebook. But how can you optimize the data you've collected? Data analysis is the answer. So discover just how powerful the data you hold can be and how the information can be used to further grow your business in the direction you want. Like I said, who should attend? E-commerce players, internet solution providers, SMEs or SMIs, retailers, chain stores. So you can get more information about this at Eventbrite.
All right.
Then we've got Native Advertising and Influencer Marketing Deep Dive.
Deep Dive.
Deep Dive. This is happening on Wednesday, the 18th of April from 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. It is free, which is always nice. It's happening at Work with a Q in Glow Damansara in TTDI. So this will feature Patrick Searle, who's the GetCraft co-founder and group CEO, and Jonathan Davies, GetCraft Managing Director for Malaysia. They're going to be presenting a workshop on native advertising and influencer marketing. So if you want some questions answered, you should go to this. And the questions that will be answered are, what is the difference between content marketing, native advertising, sponsored content, branded content, influencer marketing, etc.? Why do you sponsor content in the first place? How to decide which media and influencers to sponsor? What are the best practices when it comes to running effective sponsored content campaigns? And how do you even measure the effectiveness of all this work? So if you're interested in that, check that out on Eventbrite.
And I've got one for Friday. If you want a bit of a knees up and you want to kind of mingle and all of that kind of stuff, it's the Malaysia Entrepreneurs Night Out 2018. The theme this year is innovation. It's happening on Friday, April the 20th, between 8 p.m. and midnight. Access is between 12 ringgit and 250 ringgit if you want to spend a bit of money. It's happening at the Mayan Lounge. It is the Tropicana Grand Condominiums. So you can learn, connect, and have fun at the Friday Night Out for Malaysian Entrepreneurs. It is hashtag MENO 2018. That's MENO. It brings together the nation's leading entrepreneurs, business figures, and young professionals in an exciting social network party to celebrate and build bridges through a shared passion for entrepreneurship. So as we know, innovation is a facilitator of entrepreneurship and a way of empowering people. That's all happening on Friday. That, as I said, is between 12 and 250 ringgit. Tickets are available on ptix.my. That's all the time we have for today. But don't forget, we'll quickly run through the stories. Just in case you missed any part of this show, you can download the BFM app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. We started off with...
The weekly planning method for people who totally hate planning. Or even if you don't hate planning, you just want a better method.
And then we continue talking about Facebook and how they keep fueling the debate about privacy because they've now revealed that they track non-user data as well.
Sneaky.
Sneaky, sneaky. And then we moved on to how the underappreciated job skill that is all in your head is the ability to be flexible in how you achieve your goals using the fly on the wall method.
And then we wrapped up with a story about how some smart hackers stole a casino database using just a thermometer in a lobby fish tank. Genius. Right, don't go anywhere though. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is of course the Breakfast Grill replay. Energy solutions provider Serba Dynamic has made a number of acquisitions in recent months, with more in the works. Is this a signal of an upturn in the oil and gas sector? The Breakfast Grill caught up with Group CEO Dato Dr. Mohamed Abdul Karim Abdullah on the company's outlook. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Meanwhile, we've got some music coming up from Madness with Our House, followed by Jet with Rip It Up. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frida Liu and Christine Wong, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.